Our Father in heaven, it is indeed our privilege to bow in the presence of the Almighty. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound, oh God. If you were not a God of grace, you would have no hope. If you're not of mercy, not a God of mercy, we would have no chance. And this morning we bow before you and just say thank you for loving us so much that you took it upon yourself to buy us back out of hell. Thank you for giving to us the gift of life in Christ. Thank you for calling us to be your children. And our Father in heaven, thank you for all that you do for us on a daily basis as you watch over us and protect us. You care for us, you provide for us, you speak to us from your word, you guide us. And our Father, we are grateful from our hearts for all that you do. And we gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to sit quietly before you and allow the Spirit of God to minister to our hearts as only you can do. And our Father, we would pray with David this morning that you would search our heart, know our anxious thoughts, see if there be any unclean thing in us. And our Father, point it out to us that we might confess it, that we might repent of it, that we might walk in the way everlasting. We pray for those this morning who are in spiritual battle. And our Father, that's all of us in one way or another. You know what we're going through. You know the trials that we're facing. And you know that Satan is trying to destroy your children, your message, your church, and all that is godly. And to us it is overwhelming and seems impossibly hopeless. But God, we thank you that you are a God who is from everlasting to everlasting, whose knowledge is perfect. You know all things instantly. And you are in absolute control. What a comfort this morning. So our Father, we pray that you will continue to guide us. In these last days before our country will elect new leaders, we would ask you to be strong in our behalf. Again, Father, from our viewpoint, it doesn't look like there's any choice that will honor you. But our Father, we know again that only your people will be in the positions you put them in. And so we pray for our country. We pray, our Father, that those of us who know you as Savior, your adopted children, would stand fast, that we would somehow overcome this fear of being the silent majority, that we would not be afraid to speak on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the consequences. It is not too late for America. But God, revival has to begin in our own hearts. And so we would ask you to give us whatever it is we need to make that happen. Our Father, this morning we pray as we look into your word and read and study these words of the Lord, that you would instill in us a greater desire to walk with you, to live for you day by day. I thank you that there are so many people in this family who have given their heart and life to you. You can watch them, can listen to them, and know, Father, that you control their heart and that they walk with you continue to bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. Thank you for our leaders. Thank you for men of God who love you and your word. Continue to guide them. Our Father, we pray that the Spirit of God will be given absolute liberty to speak to our hearts and even change our lives this morning. So I ask it that it is the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're studying one of the most important doctrines of Scripture, but it is also one of the most often misunderstood, misrepresented, misinterpreted doctrines of Scripture. The doctrine of perseverance is a biblical truth that you and I have to understand if we are to live our lives as true and proper ambassadors for the kingdom. You can never forget, beloved, we are called to be ambassadors. And people are watching us 24/7, 365, to see how the salvation of God works. It is, beloved, it is the doctrine of perseverance that separates true Christians from the fakes, the hypocrites, the liars, the deceivers who say they're Christians and want all the benefits of being one of God's children, but never comply with what God says in His Word. It is the doctrine of perseverance practiced from the hearts of God's true children that drives them to stand fast in Christ while being thrown into fiery furnaces. It is the doctrine of perseverance that causes God's children to cry, "To God be the glory," as the lions charge. Perseverance compels God's redeemed to pray for the salvation of those who nail them to crosses, who burn them and torture them in inhumane ways while Christians stand without wavering until physical death frees them and delivers them to the Lord they died serving. It is an amazing thing. It is the doctrine of perseverance that floods a Christian's heart with the truth God cannot, yea, will not, abandon or forsake His children, no matter what the outward circumstances, but will deliver them from the fire and bring them forth as gold tried seven times, purified seven times, ready for the jeweler. It is this great doctrine that will not let a true Christian do any other than forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead, to press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, holding to be true what they have attained. Exactly what is this heart-dominant doctrine that drives a person to be dedicated to the uttermost, to God, to His Word, to His will, forsaking everything temporal and laying aside every sin that so easily distracts us so we can run with patience the race set before us. You remember, perseverance is defined in two parts. The first part means understanding the biblical truth of redemption and salvation to the point a person is compelled in their heart to live in harmony with all God's word until the end of their earthly lives. How many times have you heard somebody say, "I understand what you're going through," but have never experienced what you're going through? You can't understand what you haven't experienced. And a person who has not experienced the redeeming grace of God, has not experienced salvation, does not understand the whole biblical truth of salvation, and they cannot, are not, will not be compelled to follow God's word in all of their life. Can't happen. Sin won't allow it. You see, listen, if sin would allow a person to follow the word of God, there wouldn't be any need for redemption, would there? It would all be the same. It would all fall apart. Sin cannot allow it. And so a person must understand by personal experience the redemption of God to walk the way God wants us to walk. And the second part of that definition is only those who are truly born again can and will persevere to the end of their earthly lives. Only those who are true Christians. The last time we studied the truth that as God's redeemed, we learned that we are responsible and accountable for the way we both hear God when He speaks and then follow Him in response to what He tells us. You know, in Psalm 139, we are taught that there isn't anywhere we can go to be out of God's presence. You also read that God knows our thoughts, David says, afar off, meaning He knows them before we think them. There isn't anything God doesn't know about us. So when Jesus says, "I know my sheep," as He does in John 10:27, you and I need to remember that Jesus has, God has, perfect knowledge of us in every way. And how could it be otherwise? He is the God who holds us into being. You remember? You understand? There is never one second, not even one millisecond of a day, you are not on God's mind. God is thinking about you all the time. Listen, if God doesn't think about you, you aren't. Period. Okay? So, you see, so the human side of that question is, do you think of God that much? How much is God on your mind? God has perfect knowledge of us, even to the numbering of hairs on our head, we read in Matthew 10:38. Verse 27 is what we might call today interactive. It says that we hear Jesus. He says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." We hear and follow Jesus, and Jesus knows. So it's both of us working together. We hear and we follow. Listen, we hear and follow because Jesus knows us. Because. See, the knowledge that Christ has of us in a salvation relationship draws us to Him. We follow because He knows us. True Christians hear God speak and intentionally follow Him with a desire to obey. Salvation changes our life that way, so that when we hear God speak, we intentionally make a choice. I have heard Him. This is His desire. I will follow Him. And beloved, you remember, this is where we go to hear God speak to us, right? You open the book, God speaks. Hebrews says, in chapter 4, verse 12, these words are alive. This book is not paper on ink only, or ink on paper. This book is the living word of the living God. And every time a human being opens it and reads it, it affects the heart. It either draws the heart in or drives the heart away. Listen. Depending on the desire of the heart. And so, what is the desire of your heart? When it comes to listening to God speak and reading, do you hear Him speak? And do you intentionally follow Him with a desire to obey? You know the answer to that question. When we talk about following, we mean imitating God in all facets of everyday life. That's the way Paul begins Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God in all that God is, in your activities, in the way you think, in the way you relate to others, in everything. Let me ask you this. Listen, is that the way you follow God? Is that your heart? Is it your prayer every day to say, God, help me live as you live. Help me speak as you speak. Help me to think as you think. God, help me to relate to my brothers and sisters in Christ as I want you to relate to me. Now, if you want God to beat you up, and you want God to slander you, and you want God to do all manner of slackness against you, then go ahead and treat others that way. But probably there's not a lot of people in here that want God to treat them that way, is there? So it doesn't leave a lot of choice. God is a God who reaches out. And beloved, every day Christ tarries, it'll be harder to imitate God, and it will be more important to imitate Him. Because it will be harder and harder to draw people to Christ because of the impact of evil in the world. Don't think for one minute Satan is taking a back seat. You give Satan a millimeter. Is there anything smaller than a millimeter? Well, you give him a millimeter, he'll want a meter. He'll want a kilometer. He'll want it all. And I know you understand that. In addition to all this, true Christians know in their heart God reveals another truth about His provision for His adopted children. And I just want to look at some of these things here. There are about three things here that I want to point out to you in this passage of Scripture. And I want to begin with our security in Christ. Verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Let me ask you a question. What does that mean? I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What is the biblical meaning of that statement? You don't have to have a doctorate in theology to understand. Jesus says, I give them eternal life. And eternal means what we think of when we say eternal. It is forever. It is perpetual. It is never ending. It goes on and on and on and on without end. And they shall never perish. Beloved, that's a double thick wall of security around us. They shall never perish. It can't happen. When Jesus says eternal life, He means life that never ends. Listen to this. When God created us in His image, He created us to be eternal beings who live with Him forever in His heaven. And by the way, Eden before the fall was heaven. That's the way God wanted it to be all the time, and that's the way it'll be again in heaven. It'll be perfect in every way, and the temperature will be a perfect 72 degrees with no humidity. Huh? Or whatever you want it to be. It might be 60 if that's what you want it. Always remember, God did not have to create anything. You understand? Beloved, God was not compelled to create. God wanted to create. Why did God create? Paul tells us in chapter 1 and verse 20 of Romans that He created to help us see and understand His eternal power and divine nature. God wants us to know what a great God He is. Would you go with me to Psalm 19? Psalm 19, please. Put your marker there. We'll be back. Go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out to all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he's pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heaven and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from his heat. Watch very carefully. Pay very close attention to this. The law of the Lord is perfect, what? Reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, what? Making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving life to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring everything. The ordinance of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. David says, all of those things are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not overrule me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Is that your prayer? May the words of my mouth and what goes on in my heart be pleasing in your sight. David says in Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In Psalm 97, verse 6, he says, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all his people see his glory. Isaiah says in chapter 6 and verse 3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. God created to help us understand what a great and glorious, wonderful God he is. Man, who is created in God's image, is the crowning glory of creation. Listen. God did not have to create you, but he did. Why? Because God wanted you to fellowship with him. God wanted you to know him. God wanted you to be an heir and a co-heir with Christ. God created you his workmanship, flawless in design. He created you with a purpose. He created you on purpose. You are here for no other reason than God wanted you here. Is that okay? Do you understand, please? You see, if we didn't know any more than that, wouldn't that be enough for us to spend our life giving thanks to God for saying or for explaining to us he wants our fellowship? And then he called us to salvation that we might spend eternity with him. You have always been in the mind of God, and you will always be there. And one day we get to spend eternity with him in his heaven. And everybody is going to live forever somewhere. You understand that, right? Physical death is simply the door through which we pass into eternity. And I need for you to understand in the clearest way, the physical body is the only part of you that dies. Your soul, the real you, the way you are, at the instant of your death goes to heaven or to hell. And the only thing they're waiting for either place is for the body to be reunited. And the body will be reunited with the soul either at the rapture, when all the believers are called out of their graves and reunited with their souls to be forever with Christ in heaven, or at the great white throne judgment, where all those in hell, all those who die without a Savior, will be reunited with their bodies. And the Scriptures teach us that God will allow them the opportunity to stand in front of Him and say, "Here's why you should let me into your heaven." And then He's going to turn to that great book called the Lamb's Book of Life, and He's going to look. And if your name isn't there, you're going to hear the most horrible words a human being could ever hear. "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Do you see the difference? I know my sheep, and they know me. They hear me. They follow me. "Depart from me. I never knew you." Whoa. Do you understand this is serious business we're in? God called us. He adopted us. He did everything He had to do. And He reaches out to us every day. And it is by His grace and mercy and all that He is that we live. And beloved, I know a lot of you have it under control. I get that. Your lives reveal that. But there are a lot who don't. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. Sin is crouching at the door. We are vulnerable. Not just this local body, all God's people. And in all of this, this doctrine of perseverance, you need to understand this. Why is this so important? Because it is this doctrine that tells others your salvation is real or fake. And beloved, every person has to deal with the most important question in their life. Do you know what that is? It's a very simple question. The most important question in life is, an eternity is a long time. And I want you to know that God doesn't take any excuses. And it doesn't make any difference who we think we are. Whether you're at the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, before you enter into heaven, or you're at the great white throne judgment, everything against Christ is going to be wood, hay, and stubble, and you're going to feel the full weight of it. And you need to understand, listen, if you're here this morning, if you're in the extended audience listening in the radio or however you listen on the website, you need to understand that sooner or later you've got to deal with the question, where will you spend eternity? And beloved, all of you agonize over friends, loved ones that don't yet know Christ. I understand that. And you need to keep in your mind, it is God, every day you wake up, it is God's patience being demonstrated to you. It is His faithfulness. It is His kindness. Paul tells us in Romans 4:2 that He's given you another day of life so that you can come to repentance. Now, you're here this morning. You say, I know Christ. I got that. Move on. That's not going to happen. I will preach salvation until my dying day. That is the issue of life. Beloved, you and I, as God's children, need to understand this. Anytime I say anywhere to anyone, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm born again, whatever, however you say that, you need to understand, you have identified yourself as somebody who is telling a lost and dying world what Scripture is all about. And every time you open your mouth, every time you think a thought, every time you plan an action, everything you do, everywhere you go all the time, you are saying to people, as a Christian, I am telling you this is the way God's redemption affects you. Is what you're telling, is what you're saying, is what you're doing something that's consistent with the book? You know, and God knows. And the most wonderful thing is that as a Christian, God gives us a desire to follow Christ. He wants us to understand. He wants us to follow Him. And so, beloved, please, in taking this time and going through this like this, I need for you to know that of all the things we've studied, this is one of the most important. And let me say this to you, please. We need to come to the point in our life where we stop telling people, oh, here, pray this prayer and you'll be saved. Just ask Jesus to forgive you and you'll be saved and you'll go to heaven when you die. Without telling them just as emphatically, just as important, that when you pray that prayer and you ask God to apply His redemption to you, you expect to get up off your knees and live a radically different life. We've forgotten the sanctification that God teaches. When you come to God, you lay aside the life you lived before. You no longer live in sin. My Bible tells me that on the day I got saved, the Spirit of God came to live in me. That the Spirit, that my spirit came to life and my old nature died. That's what I read. And that's probably what you're reading too. So I'm going to go back to an earlier question. Are you listening? Are you listening? Because it's life and death. It's eternally important. It is just the arrogance of a depraved mind to say, I am a Christian, and live otherwise. It is blasphemy. Okay, I get it. We're not done yet, are we? I'm trying to think of a way to tell you this so that you can feel my heart. I want you to know the passion. Beloved, you are... You are the light God has put into this community. I will leave here thinking you are a Bible-believing church. And you people stand fast on the Word of God. Do not be moved. You don't answer to me, and you're not going to answer to your next pastor. You're not going to answer to 10 or 15 or 25 pastors down the road. Should the Lord tarry that long, you're going to answer to God. This never has been, never will be any pastor's church. You understand? This church does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is the doctrine of perseverance that proves that. And I'm glad to stand here this morning in front of you and say, this church lives that in large proportion. So many of you folks have sold out to the Lord. Praise God. There's more to this, and we'll talk about that. But my beloved, get on your knees and spend time with God. Let Him speak to you from the Word, and you stand fast in the truth that is God's Word. And God Himself will reward you for it. Our Father and our God, thank you. Thank you for this great doctrine. Thank you for these good people. And I pray, Father, that every day that passes, as a local body, as individuals in Christ, as your redeemed, we will rededicate, recommit ourselves to follow you as your sheep, to hear your voice, not to be led away. And so, Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will take the security we have in Christ and the truth we have in the Word of God, and we will live it. Live it by choice, following with the intention of obeying. Oh, Father, guide us. Guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.